old button on in the back.
Okay, back to Galatians chapter 1. Last week we learned a few things. Just to recap, we covered a couple of verses, but the thing that stands out is, number one, we realize that we have with Paul a new apostle who comes on the scene with a new message, new instructions from the Lord. And all those things we call grace. We talk about the grace, the dispensation of the grace of God, where God is giving, he's dispensing or giving out grace. And Paul is the dispenser of that grace, that message. And when Paul writes to the Galatians, part of that is identifying himself and his message, his gospel. I'm going to say his message, his gospel. So we left off last week at verse, matter of fact, we'll just start at verse 1 again. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of the new message. When he says grace and peace to you, and we talked about that, it encompasses more than just saying hello to the Galatians. How are you? That is God's official attitude towards all believers, not just at that time, but it extends even to today. Grace and peace. But he's not angry with us. No matter what they tell us, you know, God's punishing, he's punishing New York with Sandy. He's punishing New Orleans with Katrina. Every time a storm happens, and we talked about that, every time something happens, God's mad. God's angry. And he's telling you in every letter, every epistle, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. That is an official declaration, right? That's part of Paul's message, where when he's writing to the Galatians, he could be saying something totally opposite of that, and he should be, if you know the program, right? He should be telling them something. Yeah, he should be telling them look for a hiding spot, but he's telling them grace and peace. He says, and grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And he's gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, how does that compare with Peter and the 12? Did they go through in their ministry and say that God has, Jesus Christ has come to deliver you from this present evil world?
In fact, the Lord prayed that they not be taken out of the world.
When he came, they said what?
He accused them of prison.
He accused them of, but where was their hope? In that present evil world, wasn't it? He says he's coming to deliver us from this present evil world. They have to, and they expect to be here. He tells them in their commission to go out to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. That's a world evangelism and reformation. They're bringing that world, the world, into subjection to Christ. Paul's message is: our citizenship is where, from which we look for the Savior. We don't think about that.
What I was referring to was the Lord's prayer in John 17, verse 15, where he says, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil, as opposed to our whole
taking us
here.
Out of the world.
Yeah.
And that's
another dispensation.
Another difference. There's many differences as you go through with Paul's message. You do see that there's a lot of, I wouldn't even say subtle distinctions. They're really glaring. He says to the Galatians, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. And we talked about he had left that Galatian area, and we don't know what the time frame was, but it was very short from the time he had left there and to the time they had been, where Paul said they had been removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, you know what it means to be removed. They were taken off the base. They were shaken from their foundation. And he says they were taken from the grace of Christ.
The Galatians, they were Gentiles, right? They didn't have the Jewish background that they had to, they had understood one system and now they were hearing something different. What they heard from Paul was really, as far as the Lord was concerned, the only understanding they had. Right. In other words, like for me, I had to unlearn a lot of things that I had been taught wrong. They were not somebody that had to be relearned or reeducated. What Paul brought to them was that really the first.
Well, it was
paganism, but I mean, did they have a background in understanding Judaism, or was this their first?
Well, he's writing to Jews and Gentiles.
So some of them could have had, so when he says you're so easily removed, it could be that some of them were going back to what they knew before, and some of them were just being diverted from what they had only known.
Right.
Okay, that's what
the thing is, that's where we talk about the grace of God, where it's new information that Paul is being handed, that he's delivering to people, to those believers. When he goes to the Galatian area, this is, look at Acts 13. And this is verse 13, and then we'll skip over to another verse here. 13:1. Now there were in the church, that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. This is the beginning of Paul's missionary journey, if you want to. I don't even like to say missionary journey. This is the beginning of Paul's
ministry.
Thank you. I won't say missionary journey. Because who separated Paul? Saul.
The Lord
separated him. think James asked a question last week is we think Paul didn't get all his revelation when he went into Arabia. He didn't get it all there. He was to go through his entire ministry receiving revelation. So when he's separate from the time he's saved in Acts chapter 9 to Acts 13, he doesn't have any revelation other than the fact that you're my chosen vessel. I take that back. I don't know how much revelation he has, but he hasn't preached that revelation yet. He was going in and out with the apostles in Jerusalem, and he was preaching Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But the Holy Ghost here separates him to the work, to his work. Now, watch this. Look at the 13 verse 33. Well, let's back up a little bit. At 26. It's a lot of verses, but Paul is Acts 13, 26. It's a lot of verses. Men and brethren, this is Paul. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew not him, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. He's saying that they don't know what they read. Every week they read this, and because they didn't understand it, they have fulfilled the scriptures in condemning Christ. And they found, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So Paul's preaching the resurrection. Everything hinges on the resurrection, right? And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I would give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, this is Christ, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's Paul. That's Paul's first public sermon.
He was stirring it up
already. That's part of the grace. That's his God. That's grace. That's his grace gospel. Is no law, no works. And he said, by this man you can be justified by faith from all things that you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That is ground level revelation right there.
Everything was tied back to Moses.
So, and he's preaching it to Jews and Gentiles alike. There's no distinction now. So, and he said, to you is this word of salvation sent. Right? Okay, now, back to Galatians.
guess we could say this is his first grace preaching. Like you said, he had already been preaching.
Right.
Jesus ultimately.
Right.
The resurrection, the kingdom.
And he had just, he's going throughout his, this is the first journey, right? And he's going through that area of Galatia that we talked about. He's going through all those churches. This is what he's preaching. No law. No works. He's preaching a man. He's preaching Jesus Christ and justification by faith in him. So when they hear this message, Jew or Gentile, this is what they hear. This is what they hear. And it's nothing, no law in here. There's no law in here. He says, I marvel, verse 4:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. The grace of Christ, Acts 13, is this man can justify you. This man can declare you righteous. Without works, without the law. And the Galatians said, that whole area, this is what they hear. That was over 2,000 years ago, and what do we preach today? We squeeze in a little bit of works, don't we? We don't say this man can justify you from all things. Now we don't think about that. Well, some of us do say the law of Moses, but some people are a little more undercurrent. They don't say the law of Moses, but they still put some performance on you.
They're more subtle.
They still put you under a yoke, some type of yoke, where you have to do this, or you have to come on Tuesday, Frank, to be saved. They'll say those things, but what Paul says is you're free. This man can justify you from all things that a performance can't do. And he says, that's why he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from this good news. He says, and they called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. That reminds me of Romans chapter 5 where Paul said this. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access by faith into this grace. You know, it's kind of like where you go and only thing I think of is the Nestea plunge. You ever seen that commercial where the person just falls back and plunges into the water? That's where I think about when he says we have access by faith into this grace, where all the troubles we have, all the struggles we have, all the doubts we have, when you find out that Jesus Christ could take all that away, you just fall back and you fall access by faith into that grace. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I know I'll see him one day, not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. That's why we rejoice in expectation, not hope. I really hope I'm saved. No, I'm waiting. Like my pastor say, an eager expectation. Waiting to see him. And he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the grace of Christ. And he says, unto another gospel. Another being different. He says, I'm so soon that you are removed to another gospel. he says, we have grace, right? Grace, and then you have another gospel. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from this gospel unto another. Which we talked about that. Which is, he's saying this is which is not another. I like that. He's, which is not another. There's no other option. There's no other option. It's either grace or what?
Something masquerading.
No, he's saying this. It's either grace or nothing. It's either grace or nothing. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. He says, now this is where you said it, which is not. It's not an equivalent. What you are hearing is not an equivalent to the grace of God. He told the Galatians, he says, there's no other gospel other than this. Now, there might be some that tell you that this is the same, but it's not the same. They are, they're perverting the gospel of Christ. They are diametrically opposed to each other. You know what that?
Yeah,
they're on opposite ends. They don't mix. They're on opposite ends of each other. North and south. East and west. Up and down. Right? It's works versus grace. Paul said this in Romans 11. He says, if it's by grace, then it's not a works. Otherwise,
grace is no more grace.
And work is no more work. He said, they're not the same. He says, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, there's some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Is they turn it around. They'll turn the gospel of Christ around, and then it's no more grace. That's kind of, I think of like flipping your shirt, flipping your jacket inside out, and you have a different color. You know how people have, you know,
reversible.
Where he said, well, I saw the man, he had on a brown jacket. That's how you identify him. Where you go out and you flip it over, and then all of a sudden it's a green jacket on the inside. I'll never be able to tell that that's you, because you've, for all practical purposes, you've perverted your appearance. You changed it. And Paul said this, he says, there be some that trouble you and would turn this inside out. They turn it from a gift to something you have to earn. He said, that's not this. It's not the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is free. It's a gift. He's done it. And he says this. He says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You think he's serious about the gospel of the grace of God?
I know NIV says God's curse. So, you know, is that something that we can expect for people that's holding those roles, that's preaching the law of grace? What's the deal with them? Are they going to be under some kind of curse? Or, you know, I guess what I'm trying to get is, how would they, or when would they be held accountable if they believe what they preach?
Well, this, number one, here's the importance of Paul. Here's the importance. You know what he said? He said, though there be some that trouble you. Now, you know what the hang up is how did the Galatians, how were they troubled? How were they troubled?
That they didn't maintain their salvation.
Now. Right. How were they troubled though? Right, I shouldn't do you guys like that because I have a train of thought that I'm thinking of, but that's all that's true. They were troubled with words. That's what the Paul said. The same thing to the Thessalonians. He says, "There be some that trouble you. Be not soon shaken or troubled in mind by word or spirit." Or even letter as from us is the importance is in the gospel, and the gospel consists of words. It's the word of God. It's how you respond to the messenger. That's why Paul, and when he goes on to start explaining this, he says, "I'm gonna tell you how I got mine. I'll tell you how I got it. I got it by revelation." And the importance is not me, Paul says, not me. It's the words. It's the gospel. In Acts 15, he said this. They had the little conference, and he said, "We have heard that there's some that went out from among us that trouble you." Did you remember that? He said, "That trouble you, saying this." Look at Acts 15. Hold your hand in Galatians. Look back at Acts 15. Chapter 1. Yeah. 15:1 says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Well, what did they teach them? Like Paul said, they taught them another gospel, which was not another, "but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ." All right, look at verse 24. "For as much as we have heard that certain went out from us have troubled you with what? With words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Now, flip over to what verse is that? Well, I can't find it, so we won't go there. But the point is the response to the words is what you respond to the gospel. And Paul is saying this, they trouble you with words. So when he goes over to Galatians, he said this. That's why the authority is what we talked about last week. He that receiveth him whom I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Whose gospel is it? It was Paul was entrusted with it. It was revealed to him. So he can make a statement like that because who's his backup? Who's his backup? All right, Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind now. And he said this. Paul, he says, there's no other gospel. to those who believe. So those who believe the gospel, he said this, there's God's many and Lord's many. Remember in Corinthians he said it? There's God's many and Lord's many. But unto us that believe, there is but one. That's 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 5. Actually, pick it up at verse 3. No, you know what? Let's go back and pick it up at verse 1. I don't get too sidetracked, but Paul says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge, what? Puffeth up. But charity edifieth. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. You know, that, now that's a good lesson for us to learn too, is this. We have the message, right? And we know it's right. But we don't have a market on truth. We don't have a market on truth. Just like he told the Corinthians, he says, what? Came the word of God out from you? Or to you only? The thing is we believe the gospel, and the Lord shows us these things because we believe the words. We believe the gospel. But there's so much that we still have to be illuminated on. There's so much that we don't know that we don't know, right? So you can't even be dogmatic. You can't be. Look, even if your apostle said this, I don't even judge myself. I have the revelation. He says, I don't even judge myself. I've saved that for the Lord. He'll tell me if my motive was right. He'll tell me what's right. And he had all the information. So he says, that's why I like this. He says, knowledge puffeth up. So you might think you got a handle on this. You think that, like the Bible answer man or whatever, you think you have all the answers. He says, but knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. What I want to do, even right now, what I want to do is bring you just a step closer to him. As much as he works in me, to just bring you not closer to me, not so, oh, look at this. No, closer to him and say, no, look at this. Look at the gospel. Look at what he's done for us. That's where I just introduce you to the Savior. I don't come to magnify right or try to tantalize you with a performance, because there's always somebody who can outperform you. Paul says, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom of words. I just talked about one thing. That's it. Christ and him crucified. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm not backing myself up. Paul said, he's backing me up. And if any man thinks he knows, he doesn't know as he ought to know. He said this. Now, but if any man love God, there you go. If any man love God, the same is known of him. If any man love God, the same is known of him. you can spot a counterfeit. We see them on TV all the time. You can tell if a man is introducing you to the Savior, or if he's, like you said, James, is trying to get in your pocket. Don't you know that? Can't you tell that? Can you tell a man that really cares for you? By the words.
Out of his mouth.
What is he preaching to you?
Increase.
What is he telling you?
Who's he featuring?
Right. John said that much. He says, I must decrease, he must increase. But if any man love God, the same is known of him, as concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered to idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. So, Paul saying that the same principle is in Galatians. He says, there's somebody that's telling you there's another gospel, but there's not another gospel. Even the Corinthians, he says that there's God's many, Lord's many, but to us, there's only one. There's people that say there's different gospels. But the man who has the words, he says, there's only one gospel. No matter how sincere he is, how he appeals to you, Paul said, if it doesn't line up with what I'm telling you, let him
be in person.
Okay, back to Galatians. Matter of fact, stop at 2 Corinthians before you go to 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians 11. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11. Seems like everybody's having problems with the gospel. The Corinthians had problems with the gospel too. Paul said in first chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. That's 1 2, James. So he says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth what? Another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So he just laid down three things. You can receive, or what? Another what? Jesus.
Know him not in the flesh.
You can receive another spirit. And you can receive another gospel. Right. He said, you can receive another Jesus. Like, how can a man preach another Jesus, Paul?
That's my
Jesus in the flesh.
Taking it back to something that
was another gospel.
To another gospel. Taking it back to You just quoted the verse. He says, though we have known him after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. I just read something. It was in that booklet. It was in the booklet you gave me. Well, I was reading that booklet last night where the man said this. He says, we follow the Lord in baptism. Why? Because he commanded it while he was on earth, and we are to follow in his footsteps. That's another Jesus. That's another Jesus. You can receive another spirit. What's your question? Okay. So, think about this. And even though Paul said this, there's no other foundation than that can be laid than Jesus Christ. But you can preach him. Paul said, I preach him according to what? The revelation. I preach him when I got another set of words that I'm using, another gospel that I'm using. He says, I preach him according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret. Which is another one of those diametrically opposed. Peter said this, everything I'm telling you, everybody knew. Paul says, what I'm telling you, nobody knew. What I'm telling you, Peter says, what I'm telling you, that all the prophets talked about this. Paul says, what I'm telling you, that no prophet knew about this. Peter would say, I'm preaching Jesus Christ to sit on David's throne. Paul would say, I'm preaching Jesus Christ what?
He said that Jesus Christ was raised according to
my heart. Far above all heavens. Far above. Not to sit on David's throne.
In fact, didn't Paul say he was raised? He mentions David, doesn't he?
That was in Timothy, but that was for another purpose. When he refers to that in Timothy, we can catch this rabbit real quick, where he told Timothy that consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. He said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. What Paul was telling Timothy is, Timothy was ready to quit. He was ready to quit because of the persecution of the gospel. And Paul said, no. He says, labor now, reward later. And so he had to give Timothy a shot in the arm. And he says, listen. He says, remember, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You say, what does that mean? When he's on that cross, it doesn't look too hot, does it? It doesn't look like he's the victor, does it? Doesn't look like he's on top. But right there, where Paul's saying, he said, he went down in weakness, but he was raised up with power. When he's going through his ministry, it looks like, there's nothing. There's nothing here. And as when he was crucified and resurrected, he said in Colossians that he triumphed over the principalities and powers by the resurrection. And Paul has to remind Timothy, he has to remind him that he's in there. Be not weary, like Corinthians, be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You don't think those are good words for Timothy? Good words for us. So, but you can receive another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. But Paul said it's a perversion. We'll have to get to the accursed next week.